Hey everyone, welcome to Both Sides of the Table. I'm Kimberly Simmons. This podcast was created to share my journey as a mother raising a child with developmental delays. I'm also a school psychologist who works with children to support their academic, social, emotional, and daily functioning. I'll dive into personal, heartfelt experiences, so hang tight as we take a look from both sides of the table.
Hi everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of Both Sides of the Table. I'm Kimberly Simmons, and I'm so excited. This is the very first episode of my podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just going to jump right into it. This is a podcast about my son and his diagnosis with developmental delays. And I'm a school psychologist, and just kind of, you know, the pros and cons of being a school psychologist. And hi, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of Both Sides of the Table. I'm Kimberly Simmons, and I'm so excited. This is the very first episode of my podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just going to jump right into it. First thing, what is developmental delay? Developmental delay is a delay or delays in babies, toddlers, and preschoolers who have delays in communication, social-emotional skills, our daily functional skills. And those delays, they're not impairments, but they do impact that child. And so I've noticed that with my son since he was a baby, before he even turned one. I started noticing some things that were not developing on time. And we know all children develop at different times. Every child is so different, and so it's hard to compare, but there are guidelines of when children should be meeting certain milestones. So let's get into story time. So going back to pregnancy, my pregnancy was fine. I had a beautiful pregnancy. I enjoyed my pregnancy. There were no complications. Bryson was born full term. No issues that first year. He nursed for 13 months. I was very proud of that and very diligent with that, because we know that's one of the very best things that you can do for your baby is to nurse. So, you know, as a mom, of course, I thought I did all the right things. So we noticed knocking on Bryson's first birthday. So he pretty much met all of his milestones. Communication, however, I noticed that he wasn't producing as many words as he should. He wanted to talk, he was making sounds, his sound production was a little off, but he was not saying as many words as he should. He turned one, his requests for things was more of pointing or taking me to things and not saying, mommy milk, or mommy I want milk, you know, mommy cereal, or give me, things like that, two or three sentences. He wasn't saying those things. So I kind of noticed that there's just something I'm concerned about. I remember going to the doctor and talking to his pediatrician early on and saying, you know, something with his language, I just feel like there's, you know, he might need some supports in that area. And so he said, don't worry about it, give him some time. You know, of course, every child develops differently, and I know that. But I just, you know, you have that mama instinct. So I just knew something just wasn't right. He may need some supports. And so we get to maybe a little more than a year old. And I said, you know what? I'm going to talk with someone. I'm going to go and see if he can receive early intervention. And that's when you have a team come out to evaluate your child who is not yet in preschool. And to see if they qualify for services through the state. And so he did, for communication and developmental delays. And so they would come out and they would give him supports in those areas, play with him, just in the natural environment, just helping him just pull out some of that language and helping him with some of that articulation. So it was difficult for him. It was difficult for me as a mom, because I kind of knew he just has a hard time with communication. And children who have a hard time with communication have a hard time with that type of initiation with their peers. They just don't know how. And so if you don't know how to speak, then what do? you use your body. You know, you may see the child who throws tantrums. One of the reasons could be is that they just don't have the language to express how they feel or to express what they want. And that was part of Bryson's issues and his concerns. And so that was in daycare. Moving a little bit ahead into preschool. He started preschool. And once you start preschool and you have that diagnosis of developmental delay and you're already having therapists come out to the home to give you services, it's up to the local public school to take that diagnosis or those services and turn it into what's called an IEP in Illinois, and that's an individualized education plan. And that's just saying that a student or a child needs services in maybe one or more areas. And so in Bryson's case, it was communication. He received speech therapy for language and articulation. And so he would see a speech therapist who would go into the classroom and help Bryson with how to engage and pretty much help him with the words to say to successfully interact with his teachers and his peers. And so things were going really good. And he was, building great rapport with his speech therapist. And so it was fantastic. So that's Bryson's story. I'm gonna stop right there. I want to today talk about 4 points. And those 4 points are, the very first point is, don't beat yourself up. I know oftentimes moms, dads, families are like, okay, what happened? You know, this child is not developing as they should. What's going on? What happened? And, you know, it's just something that you cannot hold against yourself. It's not something necessarily that the mom has done, unless the mom was just on drugs or just something traumatic happened during pregnancy. Oftentimes, it's just not the mom's fault. It's just something that it just happens. It occurs typically more often than you think in children. And so I just want to stress the point, because as a mother, I felt that, okay, I nursed him, we read, we sang, you know, he's around a loving family. What happened? Why are we at this point and he is not developing his language? And so, you know, it's always those questions like, what could have happened, you know, during my pregnancy or even before my pregnancy? Sometimes you don't know you're pregnant. And it's just like, did I do something right before? I even found out. So it's just those things that are always in the back of your mind, that what could have happened? So don't beat yourself up. You know, it's just something that it really does happen more often, often than you would think. And so that's the very first point. The very second point is you really need to talk to your pediatrician. Stay in very close communication with your pediatrician on your concerns, any concern that you have about your child's development. You know, no concern should go unnoticed. Anything that you're confused about, you have questions about, be very open about that. Be very open about what's going on with you and what you think could be going on with your child. Especially for our first time moms who, you know, we're going through this this is our very first child and this is our very first experience with, you know, raising a child, and you have nothing to compare it to. You have no knowledge of what you should expect, because you're not, we always say this, you're not giving a book or a manual on this is, okay, you have a child, this is how you raise it, you know? So there are guidelines on those things, but it's, you just don't know. So ask questions. I have still a wonderful pediatrician who takes very good care of both my sons. I also have a 13-year-old, and he is, very honest, very open. We share a lot of ideas because he knows I'm in education, and he, you know, is very, we have a very collaborative relationship on, you know, what my thoughts are, what his medical thoughts are, what my educational thoughts are. So he respects me, and what I do, and I listen to him and take his guidance, medically, and what should be going on, or, you know, what should be happening with Bryson. So that's just the second thing I want to share, is just really stay in close communication with your pediatrician. They're not perfect. You know, they don't know everything, but they should give you guidance. They should tell you where to go. They should have resources. If anything, they should be very, very resourceful. If you have concerns about any part of your child's development, they should be able to guide you to a specialist. An educational specialist, a behavioral specialist, another specialist in another medical field that can help you answer those questions in more depth. They may not know that because, again, your pediatricians are general. You know, they have a global perspective of a child's development. When it comes down to things that are more specific, you may have to go to someone who is more specialized in that area. In Bryson's case, I noticed that he had delays in communication. And so I knew that he needed to see a speech therapist. Me being in the field that I'm in, being a school psychologist, and knowing students who have delays, who they would need to be examined by, and where those therapies need to come from, I knew that he would need to see a speech therapist. So I didn't necessarily need that guidance from the pediatrician, but it was important for him to stay in the loop of my child's development, because he's the one that's taking care of him. He's the one that needs to have a history of Bryson's development, because he's going to be with him for quite some time. And so I trust him. I trust that I can give him this information, and if I have questions, that he and I can talk about it, and we can come up with a really good plan along with my husband and see what is the best thing for Bryson and his development. And so that is really important, is that very first year, when things are happening so quickly and these beautiful children are growing so fast, like lightning, right? They were just newborns, and now all of a sudden they're these walking little human beings, cute as a button. Time goes so quickly. So that is a time where you really need to pay close attention and listen to that gut. That gut will tell you something's not right. Try not to be hyper-focused and comparing your child to the next child. It's so easy to say, all right, my French child is doing this, but my son is not doing that. Something's wrong with him. Again, always keep in mind that children develop so differently at different stages, at different times. So it's hard to say exactly here, this child should be doing exactly this. Again, we just have guidelines. And I knew by that time, Bryson should be at a certain point, and he wasn't. And then it was that gut. So we talked about that. So that is the second point, staying very close communication with your doctor so that he can guide you, and that you can have that collaborative effort of making sure that your child is getting the best care. Find support through family groups, meetings. There is so much information out there. We are flooded with blogs, with groups, with apps. They probably have an app on like developmental delays. There's so much information out there. For me, and what I tell parents is find that support, that group support, people who are going through pretty much the same thing that you're going through, who you can say, yeah, they're, I trust them. They're going through the same thing I'm going through. We can relate to one another. It's important to know that while things may be different from one family to the next, it's still all struggles. It's still all things that you can support each other on. But it's also good to stay in communication with those who are going through pretty much things that are similar to yours. Because that would just kind of help you to say, hey, you know, I have this idea, or I have this question, let me run it by you. Have you noticed the same thing? And what were your tips, and what were your strategies to handle that? So it's just important to have that support group, whatever it is. If it's you know, your family members, if it's your friends, if it's the school, or if it's the community, your church, what, you know, whatever it is, have that support so you don't feel alone in this process. Because you can't take your doctor home. Of course, that's your support system. When the students go to school, you can't take the teachers home. So you have to, I think, in each area, have someone there for you. And so when you find out that you're gonna need to go down that road of therapy and support, make sure you get those resources from that specialist of, you know, where are their groups for mothers who have children with the same diagnosis of developmental delay? Where are the groups of the mothers who have children who have a diagnosis with a communication delay? So that you can stay in informed with new strategies that may come out. Mothers get very creative with how they teach their children and support their children. So stay in close communication with that, with those groups. And then finally, the fourth point is continue to educate yourself and continue to ask questions. Continue to go through avenues that are trustworthy, and you know that you're going to get the best care. You know, WebMD, a lot of people just want to go straight to that and, you know, get that generic type of information, but make sure you go to specialists, ask them the questions, you know, have your questions ready when you go to see the pediatrician or the therapist. Know what they're working on and make sure that whatever strategies that they're using, you're using the same things at home, because that's showing that bridge in communication and it's showing consistency for your child. That not only they're getting that therapy at school and they're doing things one way, but then they're doing the same things that they're doing in school at home. So there's that level of consistency, vice versa. If you're doing some things at work, therapists really rely on parents. You're the ones that are really the expert in your child. You know what? I notice at home when I do this, I get this result. And this is the ultimate goal that we want. So for example, you know, Bryson may be a little impatient when he wants something. And my thing at home is to use a first then. And I'll tell Bryson, say for example, he wants a cookie. You know, first you have to, you know, we have to read. Then you can have a cookie. And in Bryson's mind, he knows, okay, I have to do this first before I get the cookie. So there's no other, you know, a demand or action after that. He knows first then, first this happens, and then this is what happens. And so I communicate that to the school. I've been really successful with first then. And most often they'll know what you're talking about and they'll use that. They need those tools and tips to help them in the therapy sessions, to help them in the classrooms, to help them, you know, with your child and how to continue to support them. So that's it for me for now. I'm so grateful that I can give my side and share Bryson's story that can hopefully help another family and just kind of my experience. I noticed that when I'm at meetings with parents who have children with developmental delay, they do have a sense of concern, confusion at these evaluations, and I'll get into more of that in the next episode. You're going to do the best you can for your child, and you will see the progress. So thank you so much for tuning in.